It is Monday, which means it is time for our weekly segment on the family. And this week, as so many kids are heading back to school, new research is casting doubt on what benefits actually come to kids who play in school sports programs, especially looking at high school sports. Does that high school team make your kid a champion or a bully? Joining us now is Kate Daly, who writes the Human Condition blog for Newsweek. We're also here with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, and we've also got Mark Hyman on the line. He is the author of the book Until It Hurts, America's Obsession with Youth Sports and How It Harms Our Kids. Welcome to you all. Kate, I want to start with you. We're talking specifically about a new study from Tufts University. What's the takeaway from this study?
Well, this study looked at kids of all ages. They've been studying about 6,000 kids for a very long time. And they're looking at what happens to kids who just play sports and are solely focused on sports versus kids who do sports and other activities like 4-H and scouting. And what they found was kids who did sports and these youth development programs were really well developed. They were growing into these nice adults. They were kind. They did a lot for their community. Whereas kids who just played sports and were solely focused on sports were more likely to be bullies and more likely to develop poorly throughout the years.
It's so confusing if you're a parent. You're supposed to be worried about child obesity and you're also supposed to be worrying about bullying. I mean, where does sports come into all of this?
Well, and I talked to the study author yesterday, Richard Lerner from Tufts, and he was saying he's definitely not anti-sports. His kids play sports. He thinks sports are great. The point is, you need to, if you're a coach or a parent, you need to make sure your kids are getting the right takeaway from sports so that it's about sportsmanship, it's about learning to be a good winner as well as being a good loser, as opposed to just dominating your opponent and win all the time.
Yes, win. Oh, sorry, you meant something else. All right, Ibrahim, you played sports as a kid.
Definitely.
So what are the positives? What are the negatives?
Well, my takeaway on this is that it helped me to understand what teamwork was about, and that was a true, honest thing that happened. And I think it was just a curiosity around sports and the enthusiasm to play with your peers. So I think a lot of what we were thinking about, about this study was that if your parent is pushing you, is it really about you and your curiosity to get out there? So that's my takeaway. It's like you have to be really interested in playing a sport just for the sake of the sport.
Yeah, I have a question about that. I mean, is there a self-selection problem here of the types of kids that might go into sports that sort of monomaniacally would be more liable to this kind of behavior? Because, you know, I mean, human beings have been playing sports since the beginning of time. I mean, tell this to the Greek Olympians.
Right. Well, and they looked at kids versus, you know, how very involved they were in sports, because there are some kids who play traveling league during the week and then little league on the weekend, and then they go to a private camp during the summer. And it really, all it mattered was, if you're going to play sports, you also need something that gives you context to make sense of the sports and teaches you larger life lessons. So whether that's
scouting or... But isn't that the purpose sports is supposed to serve, that it provides its own context? I mean, Ibrahim, you were talking about sportsmanship, etc.
Well, I think I fumbled the ball in a really huge football game when I was in high school. It was the end of the game. Our crowd went completely sad and depressed, and I looked over at my dad, and my dad shrugged his shoulders. He was like, it's okay. And that's what he said to me. He was like, it's okay, and it's not the end of the world. So I think a good father and a good parent will look to their kids and say, hey, it's not the end of the world. You're going to have other challenges and trials in your life, and sports is just a template for you to deal with that.
Mark, thanks for hanging in there. You wrote a book, Until It Hurts, about children playing sports to the brink of injury to win. So talk about the physical toll that you have seen kids taking in the name of sports.
I write quite a bit about how adults had structured sports for kids and how, you know, in my view, that really is the issue. 75% of kids are dropping out of youth sports by age 13. So, I mean, that's hardly a success story. And the other aspect is this notion of specialization, which really was really not known in the 50s and 60s. But now, instead of changing sports with the seasons, it's very common for kids to be, let's say, playing soccer in the fall and maybe playing indoor soccer during the winter, maybe working with a private coach, going to a soccer summer camp. And the result is that, you know, kids are so much more skilled at their sports than they ever were a generation or two ago, but they're so much more vulnerable to injury because they're doing the same thing year-round. And, you know, we want to help our kids reach their potential as athletes, but in this intensive training, we're actually impeding that because kids often are not healthy enough to reach that stage.
Ibrahim?
I have a takeaway. Play sports like you eat your vegetables, seasonally.
Seasonally.
Exactly.
So, like the locavore version of sports, green beans in the summer and some sort of root vegetable in the winter.
Right, that sounds very reasonable. But Mark, why is it then that parents have been pushing their kids to specialize as, in contrast to the 50s and 60s?
Well, it's a very interesting question. And what I think really is the issue is that we've come to regard sports for kids as a career path, as a stepping stone of sorts to, you know, more competitive travel teams, the high school varsity, college, and, you know, maybe the New York Yankees even. And that was never the case, or rarely the case, I think, in the 50s and 60s, when parents viewed sports as an activity that was, you know, contributed to a kid's overall health and well-being. Now, it's more of I think our ambitions have really changed the way we view sports for kids.
Yeah, Kate, I want to come back with you.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the study authors were very clear that sports shouldn't be an end unto itself. It should be a way to teach young kids lessons about life. And sometimes you win and sometimes you do lose. And I think that kids' sports today, losing has become really taboo. And it's all about winning all the time and getting the attention of the scouts. And you have these kids who are doing so many sports and so many activities. And this study found that they were more likely to be depressed because really they're just exhausted.
Well, wait a minute. I thought that the whole problem with sports these days is that everyone gets a trophy and there are no losers in T-ball. Usually those are the criticisms you hear about sports in schools.
And they may be a valid criticism. In the blog, we're doing a three-part series kind of looking at the different issues with kids in sports, and winning versus losing is one of them. The study author said, look, you kids need to learn how to lose. They need to learn this when it comes to jobs. They need to learn when it comes to relationships. And T-ball is a great way to learn that you lose, you brush yourself off, and you show up to the field next week.
But what about those kids who want to train for the Olympics, who do want to focus, you know, single-mindedly on reaching that goal?
I think one of the things you have to remember is that you're not everyone. There's only a small percentage of people that get to that upper level, that higher level of sports. So the athletes have to go into that and thinking that they might want to train for that, but it's not necessarily going to happen. Even the best athletes, you might end up on the practice field with a busted knee, and your whole career is done in an instant. So people have to be realistic about where they place sports as a priority in their lives.
And, you know, I think we want to put our kids in a position where if they're really driven, if this is what they really want, they have that opportunity and our support. But it can't come from us. It really has to come from them.
All right. I think we're going to end it there. Mark Hyman, thanks so much for joining us. He is the author of Until It Hurts, America's Obsession with Youth Sports and How It Harms Our Kids. We're also talking to Kate Daly, a writer for Newsweek. She is author of the Human Condition blog, and she's looking at this very issue. Ibrahim, Abdul-Mateen, he is our own sports contributor here at The Takeaway, and he's taught us how to eat our vegetables and play our sports.
It sounds like he had a great and supportive dad.
Oh, my gosh, your dad. He's my takeaway. I want to take him away.
So, listeners, we want to know what you think. On the path to creating a champion, could you possibly be creating a bully? Give us a call at 877-8-MY. Take. Email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org, and let's listen to your takeaway.
Medicare does have some financial problems, but what we really are seeing here is a scare tactic by an organization that has a vested interest in not having any kind of health care reform.
Now, that's Trudy Lieberman, director of the Health and Medicine Reporting Program at the City University of New York's Graduate School of Journalism. She came by to help us debunk some of the healthcare myths out there. Reminder, of course, we want to know what's confusing, convincing, or upsetting you. 877-8-MY-TAKE, mytake@thetakeaway.org. I'm Catherine Lanfer.
I'm Amy Holmes, and you've been listening to The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.